Our first lesson today comes to us from the New Testament, the letter to the Romans. Paul is writing to a group of people who are living under the difficult and violent oppression of the Roman Empire. And his words speak hope to them in their time of darkness, here now as God speaks to us this day. From chapter 13, the letter to the Romans, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The second reading this morning comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Again, listen for God to speak to us this day. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judea and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in the Lord's paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Lord shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. I want to begin this morning by telling you a story from the Dark Ages. And by the Dark Ages, I mean those shadowy years before cell phones and GPS technology. When I was in high school, going to a football game on Friday night was absolutely the height of excitement for the week. And being able to go to an away football game was the absolute pinnacle of adventure. So one Friday night, my friends Mike and Frank and my brother Lee and I headed off to an away game in a nearby city that was less than familiar to us. We piled into Frank's giant station wagon, buckled up, and set off on our way with great anticipation and excitement. But somewhere along the way, amidst our excitement, we neglected to remember to ask for directions. Or maybe one of the others in the car thought that he had a sense of where we were going. I knew I didn't. And you can ask my family, I am directionally challenged, even from here to my house. I grew up in Tidewater, Virginia, the area of the state as you move east past Richmond, an area crisscrossed by waterways of various types, streams and creeks, rivers, ponds, marshes, and swamps. Such topography means that roads don't follow clear routes. The closer you get to the water, the more unpredictable the navigation, and the place we were going was near the water. And so it was on that night we headed out without a map into the dark. At first, we were on the familiar roads, the primary main roads. We then turned off onto secondary roads and then onto the tertiary roads. Left, right, right, left, left again, right, right, right. With every passing turn, we headed further and further away from the familiar. Let's remember that as darkness falls, terrain looks less familiar, and it becomes difficult to identify any landmarks. Right, left, left, right. Surely we would soon be seeing the lights of that rival's football field. Our conversation, which had been lively, slowly quieted down until we were simply driving in silence. Did we make a wrong turn? Surely we should be there by now. Did anyone see a sign? How could we have missed all the markers? The questions hung in the air like the fog that had begun to settle and drift across the road, our headlights barely able to pierce the density. And then suddenly, we found ourselves at a turnaround spot. Do you know what a turnaround spot looks like? I don't know if they have them here like they do where I grew up. But turnaround spots are small circular areas found at the end of a road. They're often desolate, empty, uninhabited, sometimes challenging, and often difficult to maneuver. At the turnaround spot, darkness seems heavier and shadows deeper. The turnaround spot only appears when there is no more road to follow. It signals the route has ended, even if your trip hasn't. It is a forced destination, not a desired one. One seems to be unable to prepare for the turnaround spot, and it always seems to catch one off guard. You and I face turnaround spots in our lives all the time. Moments when our plans, our expectations, even our worlds are altered, often in profound ways. You and I have shared some turnaround spots in recent months. A new pastor, a surprising election, grand and wonderful news of engagements and weddings and new babies and personal triumphs, and incredibly hard moments of loss and failure and suffering. A turnaround spot can feel like the final scene of a play or the last verse of a song. We can easily believe that the turnaround spot is the end of the story because from the turnaround spot, we cannot see beyond. We lack the vision and the perspective to see anything past that single dramatic moment. At that dark and deserted spot, frightened, the car kind of teetering on the edge of a marsh and weedy swamp, I couldn't see a way out for myself, my friends, and my brother. But just because I couldn't see it didn't mean there wasn't a way out. I needed some help. Last Sunday, Laird Scott stood here and preached to us about how sometimes we need a new perspective. He suggested that there are times in life when we have to go up to a rampart or onto a tower, climb up to the highest elevation, maybe even to a mountaintop, to catch a glimpse of a vision beyond our present moment in order to see what is coming. In the Old Testament text this morning, we heard something about a mountaintop. Isaiah, through his words and images, takes his audience up to a mountain, a high place, a place from which the view is vast and expansive, and shows them a world that is not currently present, but one day will be. Isaiah describes in great detail the peoples of the world streaming to God's holy mountain to worship, to hear God's word, to get instruction and direction, and to learn a completely new way of living. The mountain for Isaiah will be a turnaround spot. On this mountain, all people will follow God's law and instruction, not the law and instruction of the earthly rulers who tempt the peoples with power and authority. On this mountain, God will judge the peoples with justice and mercy. No more will people judge each other. On this mountain, all peoples will turn toward the ways of peace and away from the clamor of war. On this mountain, Isaiah says, swords and spears, weapons of mass destruction, will be turned into plowshares and pruning hooks, forged into tools for community life and care. On this mountain, people will gain a new perspective, one that is particularly important when their present reality limits their vision. And for us, Isaiah's words fill us with hope, don't they? For in Isaiah's words, we catch a glimpse of a new community. We snatch a look across the chasm of what has been and into what will be. We witness a shift in the continuity of how things are, and we feel a shift away from the old ways of darkness toward a new way of living in the light of peace. Isaiah shows us in clear and powerful images that regardless of how our current circumstances may cloud our vision, regardless of where power seems to lay in the present, regardless of all that appears to be to the contrary, the day is coming when God's reign will be established for all to see. In other words, what you see right now is not what always will be. Things will turn, and in the turning point is where hope lives. Advent is a turnaround spot. It's a turning point. Old Testament scholar Bruce Birch writes that in Advent, we lift our sight above the challenges and crises of our time to participate with generations since Isaiah in the hope for a world transformed by the final goal of peace and harmony toward which God is moving us. Advent. It is the point in our liturgical year when we find ourselves at the end of one journey and at the beginning of another. At this Advent turnaround spot, we stand in silence and we feel the darkness settling around us. In Advent, we hold still, poised, and ready. This time pregnant with anticipation as we await the birth of the Christ child, as we seek a star that will fill the world with new light, and as we hold silent watch on a cold, dark hillside until we hear the angel song. Our weekly practice of lighting candles in worship during Advent is a foresight of the light that is to come in the Christ child. When we do that, we say to each other and we say to the world that the light of the world is coming. And we hear something similar to that message in Paul's letter to the Romans. He writes, "The night is almost over. The day is near." That's how Paul speaks truth and hope to the Christians in Rome. Those believers so very often persecuted and besieged by the violent authority of the Roman Empire. People who daily saw darkness and destruction. People who felt that they were facing a dead end. People who needed the hope of a turnaround spot. "You know what time it is," Paul says to them. "This is the time. God's reign is coming. This is the time," he urges. "Act like it. Shake off the garments of darkness. Put on the armor of light." Don't you hear his insistence that a turning point is near? "Fellow Christians," he writes, "believers, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. It's time to turn away. Turn away from the shadowy world of sinfulness and instead turn toward the light-filled world of love and peace." And we hear in his words as powerful a reminder as then. "Shake off the fear. Put on hope. This is the time." We are at a turnaround spot, and turnaround spots are proof that the story isn't over yet. Jesus is coming. Jesus is about to break into human history, changing my story, changing your story, changing everyone's story forever. And this is the divine good news that as Christians we tell and retell year after year until the turning point comes. The baby is born. We tell and retell, "Christ is risen." Tell and retell, "Christ reigns supreme, beginning to ending, to beginning again." Friends, this is the story where hope lives. Hope for a new day, hope for a new world, hope for a new way of life, hope for the peace and joy and love that have come, that do come, and that will come again. Watch and wait. Look for it. The story is about to turn. Amen.